the sun. And get crazy, have some fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me today is the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Welcome to the show.
Jump and press the circle button.
Yes,
do you do that for everyone? That's
no.
That's always my introduction for you. It's very impressive.
Baby, you're special to me.
I'm your first.
Yeah. You never forget your first.
Person you did a podcast with for 5 years.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
You're also my first other. So here's the thing. I want to talk about this because, and I know I'm behind. So here's, for anybody who is listening to the show and playing catch up, you don't care. But for anybody who's listening and already caught up and waiting for, I am probably about 2, maybe 3 weeks behind on episodes. Wow.
And what? How many people listen live? Do you know? How many people will download this?
I don't know. I would
guess
somewhere around a little over 2,000.
Oh,
is what I think are the ones that like get it.
Got it.
But that's only about a third of where we are, and it fluctuates from episode to episode.
That's exciting.
So anyway,
I just got nervous. There's like 6,000 people listening to this right now.
Maybe they stopped. To be fair, I've taken a 3-week break. And we could have lost a third of them already. Yeah. Like, screw this. I need my podcast and I need them on time.
If I'm going to listen to a dad-related podcast, it better be punctual.
Right? So here, well, first let me do that. Let me explain why it is that it's not for a lack of interest.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little to do with the fact that we had some issues scheduling guests when it came to Rachel. So I kept going, oh, we're going to have
you're going to have a real guest on.
Yeah,
and it didn't work
exactly,
out.
Exactly, Kevin. Thank you.
Who's Rachel? Who is Rachel?
She is my second. So we ran into that through no one's fault. It just, you know, schedules happen. That coupled with the fact, and I'll get into this later on if we don't get into it in this one, but that coupled with the fact that I've said it on the show, I'm going to be the Booster Club president.
Congratulations.
So there's lots of meetings with principals. Lots of meetings with people.
I didn't know you had political aspirations.
I did not.
Which is the joke I made to your son when he told me this earlier.
Yes.
I didn't know you were going to be doing this.
I didn't know either.
What does this mean?
This means that, so there's a PTA, there's two basic fundraising entities that exist on a school level.
I'm not.
You have PTA, which is more of an advocacy group. Mm-hmm. So that is the Parent and Teacher Association.
Okay, that's the one I'm familiar with.
Yeah, so that's what everybody knows.
Sure.
In fact, more often than not, people, when we have a booster thing, they think it's just PTA anyway.
Mm. Oh, but it's not.
It's not.
There's another side.
Because there are certain things that PTA cannot raise money for.
Legally?
Legally.
Or physically?
Well, it might not be a legal thing. It might have more to do with their bylaws, I'm assuming. Like, because they have a governing body that's larger than all of us.
It is the Lord's commandment.
Probably like 3 steps below.
I got it. Some guy.
Wherever the Lord's hierarchy ends, I would go 3 steps below that.
Got it.
I feel like it's at this point, it's what does it go? It goes Trump, then Pence, and then who's? I always thought it was second. No, it's Speaker of the House.
Yeah, Speaker of the House.
So that's Ryan.
Then
right?
Jeff Sessions.
Then Jeff Sessions. No, I feel like Secretary of State is in there. Then Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then PTA.
Got it.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon, I think, is in there
somewhere
too.
Somewhere there too.
So there are certain things that they can't do. And the way it worked at my kids' elementary school is that, you know, we went to 6th grade camp. Which is, they call it now outdoor science camp, but let's call
we
it.
We call that science camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what I
like, wasn't that far from you. I was only a couple hundred miles towards civilization.
Yeah, exactly.
From you,
how dare you? Stay frosty, everybody. Sorry, we're getting another week.
What's happening? I don't understand.
I got to cut it short. I got to
listen.
Got a meeting.
Raise your hand if you seminated a cow in your high school.
I did not seminate it. You could say raise your hand if you saw it happen multiple times. If there was one
raise
very
your
loose cow in your high school.
If you had a cow.
At least easily.
Yeah.
Whatever record there is for gangbanging, this cow had it broken with arm banging.
Wow. And didn't care. It was
she
part
probably,
of its life.
I don't even know
there
if she
were no
enjoyed
cows
it
near my suburban school. Nowhere near.
Well, to we're be organic. Before organic was a thing.
Delightful.
Anyway, Kevin likes to think that I grew up in some hillbilly town Modesto.
I've met your dad.
I grew up to it with, listen, my dad is not a fair representation of the, never mind, I'm going to back up.
Checkmate match.
My point is, what is my point? Where was I?
PTA and boosters.
PTA and boosters. So, oh, outdoor science camp is what we have. We called it sixth grade camp when I was in school. What it should be called is the week where you leave the comfort of your home to go live with strangers and people barely old enough to manage children.
Camp.
And everybody gets to learn whether or not you have pubic hair.
Yes.
Like, that's what it really boils
down
to.
That was my science camp.
Yeah, right? And then there's...
A science camp by any other name would still be as awkward.
There's always the one kid who's, like, super, super hairy, which is very weird to me now, because now to be hairy is unattractive.
Yep.
But then to be hairy was, like, you could just walk in. You didn't even need a towel. You just leave it out. You know what I mean? And then the rest of us are just, you know, head down, like it's our first day in prison and we all have done some kind
Did
of
you really
small white collar crime.
Together?
Yes.
Wow. We wore bathing suits.
Well, we wore flip flops. We weren't animals.
So I'm learning so much about Modesto. Where would you have these outdoor molestation
just at the road.
Camps?
It was technically in the back of the high school because there was woods.
Yeah.
No, we would go up to
it's not fun to win anymore. It's got dark.
We would go up to like a campground. We would go up to the...
Like an hour away? 10 minutes away?
I don't remember how long it was. It seemed like it was kind of far.
It
but
was
I mean,
far enough.
My dad has a cabin that's probably an hour away from Modesto.
Yeah.
So it's very California in that sense, where you could travel an hour anyway and be in a different habitat. So we do this thing. And now what happened was is that I don't know how it stopped happening or if it ever did stop happening or how it began. But basically, the school was not able to afford to pay for outdoor science school.
Oh.
So Booster was created because outdoor science school was not a thing that PTA could fundraise for. So... And I don't know if this works everywhere, but this is at least how it works in the state of California or the state of Southern California, where you, if you are a booster club, you can fundraise. That's all you do. You are a fundraising body that fundraises money for student enrichment. That's what you do.
That's a wide umbrella, though. What counts as student enrichment?
Anything. Margaritas for the teachers, espresso
enriched.
Machines. I don't know.
I would like to be enriched right now.
And that's the thing, is that we're kind of... We're running out of people to participate, so that's kind of part of my goal when I step in. We've had these, I would say, four people, and I'm probably forgetting a fifth, but it really is. The Beatles, I think, still had more people involved in what they did. And these fantastic moms and a few dads have really done a great job over the last 4 or 5 years of keeping this thing afloat with such a small group of people. I mean, these people are fundraising like $40,000 a year.
Is it because everybody's busy fundraising for indoor science club camp?
They're misunderstood.
Yeah.
They're misunderstood. They want it to be... No, but everybody wants their kids to live in a bubble now.
Right, right. And, so you're like, bring it back to its roots.
Yes.
Outdoor science
outdoors,
camp.
Guys. Let's get back to nature. Yeah. It's like living in Modesto. They're like, that
where there are
town.
Very loose cows.
So my job is... That we have the lady who's been running it this whole time and just kicking ass and taking names, and it's not just her. That would be unfair to say it's just her, and I think she would say that too. But it's only been like 3 or 4 people is what I'm saying, and now they're all leaving. Mm. They've all got fifth graders.
The kids are graduating.
And they're going on to junior high to be the 4 or 5 people running everything over there, or maybe you take a break. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But so my job is, I'm hoping, is when I come in, I'm going to spend the first year learning, and then when they leave is that, and in that first year, I want to try and get more people in, like see what I can do to get that happening. Because right now, Booster is just going to do outdoor science school.
You know, I direct volunteers for a living at a church. That's my job, full-time ministry. And we have there's a common law of thermal volunteer dynamics that many churches are subject to, which says that 20% of your congregation does 80% of the work.
Yep.
Does that true? Is that balance still true within the boosters?
It might even be closer to 10. Mm-hmm. Now here's the thing. If you count booster, it's probably 5 to 10.
Wow.
I mean, you think about it. We got 700 kids at our school. Yep. This can't be interesting. This is too isolated to me. But
I think booster clubs is
they
within
are,
your
yeah,
wheelhouse.
Yeah, and if you're into the, here's why I bring all of this up. Yep. I bring all of this up because A, it's been what's occupying a lot of my time and energy, not in a bad way, but B, I have learned so much about getting invested in the community. Anybody who has been listening to the show for at least the last 3 years heard me tell funny stories about my first interactions at PTA and everything. And now what I've learned is it's a great way to not only get to know the teachers and know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes at your school. If there's anything that frustrates you, like I kind of know now why we have those annoying supplies lists where you have to buy 8 reams of paper and color crayons and colored pencils and markers and stuff. You start to get a feel for what these people are fighting for and what and what's going on. And even bigger is that you start to make these really cool friends. Like, I've met some really nice friends that are parents. And the nice thing is, because you're both in booster or PTA, you have an equal level or interest of investment in what's going on in the kids' school.
And you've been in it before you even had kids.
Right. That's my that was my joke at the first PTA meeting. I made some kind of joke about getting a teacher a massage or something instead of a book for parent or they had pat pals. It was like Secret Santa for kids. And this mom who was there, it was the first meeting of the year, and she leans over, she's like, "What grade is your kid in?" I said, "Oh, I don't have a kid here." And I just look back at the lady who was talking, and I could see her in my peripheral just stare at me blankly, kind of
waiting,
slack-jawed.
Waiting for you to release her from the comedy jail.
And so I did like a half look, and I saw her still looking at me, and I went, and I leaned in, and I go, "Megan's Law. It's the only way I could get in the building."
Oh, gosh! We had to double down on that.
And what I later learned is that the teachers sitting next to me, they heard me say that, and that's where, like, this guy's great. Like,
so you sacrificed one for the good of the many.
And one of the reasons it's why I chose PTA, and this is more of a reflection at the time, but the reason I chose booster to be
did you have to campaign for this role? Because it sounds like you're like, my vision for the booster club is,
it is
more involvement with the booster club.
Because here's what I learned about, and I'll get into this like I said later on, because the boys are also playing flag football, and I'm the assistant coach who just was promoted to offensive coordinator.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was a really big deal. We're very excited about it. We're taking it one game at a time. First game we lost. But
well, that game's behind you now.
Right,
you can take the next
it's on
game
to
the next.
We're, you know, what did Belichick say? We're on to Cincinnati. I would be saying we are on to the Cowboys. I think we're going to be playing. Good. Last week, the Burbank Bills faced off against the Burbank Seahawks. And suffered a punishing loss of 25-6. But they're going to, you know, really get back into the practice. And now we're focused on the Burbank Cowboys. And we're hoping we can destroy
them. And you're
them.
Who? The Bills?
We're the Burbank Bills, yeah.
So did they just take all the NFL names and pull them out of a hat?
And logos.
Oh. No. That's illegal.
Burbank. It's fun in that if you volunteer to be the head coach, they ask you what your favorite football team is. And you, like our coach, he's never coached before. So he's like, I like the Bills. We could be the Bills. And he's like, hell yeah.
Wow.
And so it's great because if you're a guy who has a ton of Bills stuff, and then you get to walk around being the coach of the Bills.
That's amazing.
So I bought Bills hats for me and the other assistant coach, even though he's a Falcons fan and I'm a Rams fan.
Right. Oh, because the other assistant coach is Falcons. So what other teams are there? There's the Niners.
In our league, it's kindergarten, first, and second grade. And it is the Bills, the Cowboys, Niners, and Seahawks. So four teams means we've already made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we're winners there. And we're really excited after our first loss to have clinched a spot. We have a little X next door. Sorry. But I'm getting off topic. Is that
it's all on topic.
In fact, here, let me do this. I'll take a quick break and then I will recenter and regather and we'll go at this again. Okay. So I was talking about Booster Club and how it's occupying my time. And I did not have to campaign. You asked me if I'd campaign. Mm-hmm. I did not have to campaign because you need people. And this is kind of why I wanted to talk a little bit about this on the podcast is because people really, you need them to keep things going in the school. And if you do have a PTA and you do have a booster club, you'd be shocked at how much that they actually are creating for your kids. And I think you would also find a significant sense of fulfillment. And we'll get into that in the next segment.
This is very encouraging as I have a child that's in preschool. He could start transitional kindergarten as early as this August because California has that ridiculous law that we start school mid-August. But he would be 4 starting transitional kindergarten. So we're going to probably hold him into some sort of preschool environment. But we're nervous about the school that he'll be attending to because we're in the LAUSD and the school he would be attending to has a metal detector in front of it.
Yeah.
One of the things that this is encouraging because if I can get involved in the booster club, no doubt that they would be eager for a dad that would be invested and involved. I'll probably be president within the first week.
Mm-hmm.
And
about a year and a half, I wouldn't get cocky. I mean, maybe at a metal detector school.
Maybe. Unless maybe it's run by the mafia. I don't know.
Just be forewarned, if it's a metal detector school, they might get worried when you drop your kid off. They might think you're somebody. Why is there a male here? What is going on in this situation? Why are you not a grandparent? What is going on here?
Yeah, you might be onto something there. But this is encouraging that maybe I can be a positive force. Because we talked, they allow parents to sit in the classrooms and stuff. And I was like, I really don't feel like that's the best way to be like the guy that fetches the crayons. It doesn't seem like it'd be a force for positive change. But to be involved on this level sounds like an appropriate way for a parent to be involved.
I have two tidbits of advice that you should literally take with less than a grain of salt, but just throwing it out there.
Like
in
a
case
rock of salt? Or?
You and your lovely bride. Grain. Probably less than. I would turn that down to a finer.
A well-rounded pebble.
Yes. Yes. Very eroded, almost tasteless. Zero iodide
which
in this.
I think is the byline of the show.
Yes.
The Dad Podcast. Very eroded, tasteless.
You're very dead on that one. That one hit close to home. I would suggest, since your son's birthday is in September, and that's close enough to the cusp, is that I would wait a year.
Yeah.
Now, here's why I do this. A, for anybody who's listening, maybe you can take this grain of knowledge. We did that with Jacob. Jacob has blown through school.
Yeah.
We did not do that with Jack. Jack's birthday is in June.
Yeah, so he misses the cutoff.
And he's doing okay.
Yeah.
But he struggles with like sentence structure. And what they found is that it's not necessarily his aptitude or, I mean, on maybe certain levels, it's his interest.
Yeah.
But it's developmental. And that's the big reason, is that you can have a kid who is prone to picking things up, but developmentally, that getting to that next level is usually a little bit more difficult. And it does seem like cheating to me to wait a year.
Yeah.
You know, but
puts him at the head of the curve. Interesting.
Yeah, and then you always have the blowback of maybe school is too easy. And then, like in my case, I would get in trouble when school is too easy. And then there are also perfect examples to the opposite of that, like our very own Dr. J.
You give him a paper route. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you do. You make things harder if you're my father. Our very own Dr. J, the pediatrician. If I get Dr. Dre on the show, I kick Dr. J to the curb in no time.
And he would be like, here's the curb. I'm
Dr.
happy.
Dre may not even know his own children, for all I know, but I would much rather no. He's a doctor, very, very learned guy, and he was like 4 and a half when he went into kindergarten, for all I know. But I know that it was way, way early. But here's why, again, I digress and go through all of this. Because of my involvement in the PTA and everything, it led to this really cool thing that happened this Valentine's Day, and why I'm getting caught up on all this, is I went in to volunteer for my son's Valentine's party.
Yeah.
And the parents come in and everybody brings in like cupcakes and stuff. And I'm the room rep. So I email everybody and then I tell them where to drop their stuff off if they can't be there. Yeah. And there's like 3 or 4 people. And I don't know what your childhood was like. Mine was pretty awesome in the sense of what my dad did with me and what I got to do at home and with my friends. Sometimes at school, especially when I got closer to like 4th and 5th, which I think is pretty average, the social dynamic of school was a little bit tough. I struggled there a lot. But what's really interesting and I think very, and I don't know if I'm usually this guy, I think I am an idealist, but very reaffirming, is I've been to 2 of these now. And the kids today are so awesome. If you ever need a moment to renew your belief in society and the fact that it's improving, if you honestly think, especially if you're very anti our American representation for people that are living within the States, right? If you are against that and you think it's the end of the world, I don't know. Maybe he can't have that much of an influence on our kids and ruin even this, but last year I went into my kids' first grade class and it was just cool to watch the kids. Everybody's super polite. Everybody comes like, can I have one of this? And then some kids were like, yeah, sure. And we had stuff and they all sat down, and to hear them chit chat and laugh and play jokes with each other was really cool. This year, as they got a little older, like there's a couple of kids that I will qualify as being eccentric in Jacob's class. And they are the kind of kid that normally, I think in our childhood, they would almost be shunned and outcast a little bit. But in this class, everybody was super polite to this kid.
Really?
It didn't even register. It was very interesting to me to have that wiring as an adult and go, oh man, I hope that kid's okay.
No, don't you know, Jacob, that one's a loser.
Yeah.
What are you, talk to that one.
He's social poison. and then there was like this one kid who, for Valentine's, him and his mom put together little Ziploc bags of just a few Legos, enough to build like a small, tiny, tiny thing. Not even like a little car,
like
but
a
just,
block. You can make a brick or maybe a square.
Yes. All of the kids would come, I mean, when they got to it, they'd be like, oh, look at that. And then they would look for the name. Mm. They would walk up to the kid. They'd be like, Tyler, thanks so much. This is so cool. Thanks, man.
Wow.
Like, they're like, I know people who are in their 40s that don't have that level of compassion,
of gratitude,
and consideration for their fellow man. Yeah. Like, and I honestly, I don't know. You could call me an idealist, but I don't see that there's a way to erode that. Hmm. I really I felt like I drank the Kool-Aid, and I did have some Kool-Aid. It was a Valentine's Day party. But
what was in the
that's not for this podcast. It is tasteless and eroded, but it is still sober at times.
Tasteless and eroded.
Sobering. But I don't, and I wanted to ask you, is that, have you had any kind of experience like with it, with, because I know that your son will go, he's in preschool.
Yeah.
There's also like, you guys have the kids. I want to call it like a daycare, but is it still like a Sunday school at the church?
Yeah,
or?
It's somewhere. Oh, you're talking about at the church or the,
both.
His preschool.
I'm just curious to see if you had anything like that.
Yeah. The, I'm really encouraged by my son's time being in social environments like his preschool or like our Sunday school, which we call Kids Club because that makes it cooler.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
The, because he, what we, why we've decided to hold him back in air quotes from public education for a year is that we've kind of come to the decision that his academics are fine. Like he picks up stuff from TV. He picks it up from talking to us. He's no dummy. So getting him into a public school environment where he's going to be learning more ABCs and sentence structure, I think he's just going to naturally gravitate to that. What he lacks is the emotional development. And his preschool is small enough to give him that space to where if he's having a hard day or he's not getting his way, to be able to care for him in those moments. And what we've seen for that is when he comes home, because he's being listened to and appreciated, his voice is being heard, and also, you know, he's given boundaries. He can't do whatever he wants whenever he wants. You know, if he comes in with a bad attitude, they kind of draw him out of that, but in a kind way, is that he comes home like 2 years older. He's more articulate. He's more respectful. He has things to share. He's excited to share them. And what we've seen is that that builds over time. So this past week, we had out-of-town family. My grandmother, celebrating her 93rd birthday, got on a train and came across the country for her bucket list.
Wow.
With my aunt. And so they did a 3-day train ride to get to California. And then we spent the week with them doing all the regular family things you do in L.A. So we went to the Reagan Library and we went to a show in Pantages in Hollywood. And we had a breakfast together where Kat and I made a breakfast for everyone. And they asked Quinn about his school. And usually, you know, preschoolers, they kind of shut down right after a while. You ask them a question. And then especially he'll do it if we talk to people on FaceTime. He'll say one thing and then it just degenerates. It erodes and tastelessly becomes going, bleh, bleh, ah, you know, whatever. But instead, they asked him about his preschool and he would not stop talking until he could describe all 7 of the rule of the jobs that you can get on a day and what each of the jobs are and what he thought of them. So there's line leader and there's prayer leader and there's the lights helper and there's the teacher's helper. And he went through all of them. And the conversation kind of moved on. And he's like, no, there's still one more. And he wanted to tell us, he's 4, he's 4 and a half. And so I know a lot of that is fueled by the teachers, but it's also the kids that are there, which is, I think, grounded in your question, that there's a sense of community there. And so he'll talk just randomly. He'll say, oh, there's this one kid. I don't remember. We'll say it's Evan because that wasn't his name. Evan helps me when I'm at school. And there's other kids that he'll say or give him a hard time. But he's like, Evan's always very nice to me and he has nice things to say and we play together very well. And so that I like what you're saying of this, like, redemption in humanity.
Yes.
And that you see it and you're like, there is a kindness here before we all learn to care about what's on our plate.
And I really, truly, honestly, like, I'm sitting there watching these kids interact and I was like, because you do. You hear a lot about what's wrong.
Yeah.
You hear a lot about how society's taking a turn. And I'm even the kind of guy who's like, you know, I'd really like to not get so pussified. Mm-hmm. I would like there to be a little bit of struggle within a kid's age. And I don't know. Maybe it would be funny if I'm part of the problem. But and like, what if this new age way of doing things is the solution? Hmm. And I'm the guy who's holding it back. Like, I'm the grandpa who still says colored.
but which is always fun at a party.
Exactly. But it's, I can't help but sit there and look at and just, like I said, feel completely happy and go, you know what? Life, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Society is going to be good. I really think that these kids are socially a lot more mature than I ever was when I was that age. And I like the dynamic. I like the community. I like the aspect that nobody's looking to pick on anybody. There's been situations where people disagree and they're still learning to navigate that stuff where it's like, I don't like what you're doing. So it's not completely, I guess, perfect. It's not a utopia.
Well, what I see is a growth through society, right? Like that we kind of, as a culture, as American culture, make choices and then kind of grow and adapt through that, through generations, through iterations. So with all due respect to our parents' generation, they were the me generation, the baby boomers. And I think a lot of people our age came from families with broken homes, families of divorce. And that left a scar on the heart of a lot of men like you and I that now have kids and for whatever reason or, you know, whatever that background is, have made the decision to say, no, it's not going to be like that. My relationship with my kid isn't going to look like that relationship that I had with my father, because I can't imagine 30 years ago there being a dad radio show, right? Like this kind of thing.
That's true.
Was not a part of the culture. So
I'm sorry. I said that's true. Like, yeah, I'm making the world a better place. But there's
are.
What I was thinking is this is not the only one. There's a ton of them.
Right, right. And the good work you're doing and the good work they're doing, that it's a part of a larger cultural decision to say, no, there's value in investing in our children, because maybe some of us weren't invested in that way, and I don't want them to experience that the same.
Yeah. In fact, let's take another break, and then we will talk about great dads.
Great dads.
Excellent segue, Mr. Miller. All right. Now, this was brought to, I saw it, but you were the one who pointed this out. And I think it's a great way to transition into this article that I found. This is one Tom Brady. Many of you probably saw this either on the news. It was making the rounds. Tom Brady getting asked a question, which I don't think it's from Trent Dilfer's kid. I think it's like a kid reporter that Trent Dilfer brought to the game.
We'll call him Phil Trifler.
Yes. A little boy. For anybody who doesn't know, Trent Dilfer was a quarterback. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens and just kind of bounced around. He started off with the Buccaneers back when they were orange and salmon.
The colors. It's going back.
Yeah, and bounced around, but had a lot of great success with the Ravens and took him to a Super Bowl. And now he works for ESPN and does the Sunday morning countdown show. And so he has this kid on his shoulder, and this kid has a question. I think he said he was seven, and that he wants to ask Tom Brady.
Dying to ask you a question. He's a Panini Kid reporter. It's a good question, too.
What's up, Joseph?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Many people say you're their hero, but who's your hero?
Who's my hero?
All right.
It's a great question.
Good question.
Well, I think my dad is my hero, because he's someone that I look up to every day. And my dad.
So what you can't see when you're hearing that is you can't see a Tom Brady, a guy who has ice in his veins and can lead.
At the time, three Super Bowl rings.
Right. I think it four.
Four. Ten. I don't know.
He's got a hand.
Yeah, you're right.
And a guy who could lead his team to the greatest comeback. He didn't know it at the time, obviously.
Right.
But he gets emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that.
And now he's the greatest of all time.
Yes, he is the GOAT.
Even Joe Montana refuses to believe that.
Yeah. Refuses to believe that Tom Brady's the GOAT?
Yeah, somebody asked him, and Joe Montana said, well, I think it's really hard to put anybody in that bucket. And like, okay, I'm sorry you're no longer the greatest of all time, Joe.
You think Joe Montana means him?
He does.
You think so?
I think before Tom Brady, Joe Montana was considered the greatest of all time.
Yes, but I think if you told Joe Montana that he was the great, Montana is the great, I think he would say the exact same thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's because he can relate to the idea of having all that pressure.
That
put
might
on
be
him,
true. That might be
and
true.
And that he's, you know, let's just let Tom play the game and enjoy the remaining years of his career. Because I remember jumping to a different team and having it just pressure that comes with it. Hell. I mean, I'm going to make this jump. It's going to make me the biggest douchosaurus in the world. So buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
This is about great dads.
My son plays flag football, and he played his first game at quarterback, and I was the offensive coordinator calling the plays, and I saw him struggle with the pressure that came with the position.
Yeah, all those flags.
I understand. So I don't want anybody calling him the GOAT. And it's not because he was sacked like five times.
But no, in all honesty, is that one of the things that was frustrating, and I think it relates to this scenario, And because as his father, that's what made it extra hard for me, is that I know not only the passion and the desire that he has to play quarterback and to play it well. It's not just about being the hero. That's not what it is for him. He picked up that he could throw the ball well early, and he heard enough people say it, and he wanted to do it because he loves football. Yeah. And he loves.
You're talking about Jacob or Tom Brady?
Jacob.
Got it.
I think both.
Yeah, that's probably true. The next greatest of all time.
You're right. But no, and it was hard because Jacob was just playing his heart out, man.
Yeah.
Doing everything he was told to do the way he was told to do it, and to watch it not work out for him. As a father, I was like, I know that this is good for you to go through this. Mm-hmm. But man, I wish it wasn't this way, man. Yeah. I'm really sorry, because you're doing it right. You're working hard. You're focusing on your job. And it's just not working the way we all would like it to.
And teaching them that lesson is very difficult. We have the PlayStation Game of the Month Club, and this last month we got Starwall. Have you seen
that?
So it's a great little indie game. I definitely recommend you download it, where it's like a flashback to the early 90s arcade games, and they have these great old kind of style retro artwork in the background, and in the foreground there are narwhals that pretty much look like penises. But only if you have a brain and can make that connection. But they have little horns that make them fly around. Anyway, it's all very, like, tongue-in-cheek. But they have these hearts on them that you're supposed to pierce each other's hearts with your narwhal, right? So Quinn and I started playing, and he, because he's a kid, he's just pressing buttons, and he's destroying me. So he wins in the first match, and he's, like, over the moon. Because we play video games, and he never wins. He's like, I won! We do a second match. I still haven't figured out the game. He defeats me again. He's over the moon. I won! We do the third game. I finally figure out how to play, and I beat him. And he was like, oh, he was so mad and so upset at me. And he would sit there, and he was pouting, and he was angry. And I had to explain to him, now, did you have fun when you won? Yes. Did you have fun when you lost? No. But did you have fun before you lost? He wouldn't really tell me. I said, here's the thing. You have to, whether you win or lose, you say good game at the end.
Yeah.
Because if you don't play like that, no one's going to play with you. Cut to like an hour later, we play some more. He loses straight out, and he just looks at me, Dad, good game, good game. And gives me a high five. I was like, there, how quickly you learned that lesson.
And he kicks you in the shit.
Yeah, the whole time. Now he asks for it all the time. And when it's over, if whoever won, he's like, we both won. It was a tie, so we both tell each other good game.
That's great. Well, I think it applies in this situation, because I find it hard to believe that you could be someone like a Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And not only, like, here's the thing. I'm not saying just because of his ability on the field. I do really think that from the impression that you get from him is that he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's focused on his work ethic.
He's from the Bay Area.
Californian.
Come
Can't
on.
Get much better than that.
No.
And so these university research studies, there's three of them that are culminating in this article here. And they look at the scientific traits that they find in great dads. So, first,
scientific traits.
Scientific. Well, here's the thing, the scientific pattern.
Sure.
Trait. So, what I would ask you, and if you want, I'll throw it back on myself first. I'm okay. Just being polite.
No, ask
you're
me.
The guest.
I'm not afraid.
What do you think, in your opinion? Because I think it's something that we don't honestly think about a lot as parents. What do you think makes you a great dad? Because I find for myself.
Greatest of all time, Dad?
Yes.
Am I the Tom Brady of dads?
Nobody needs to be put in that box.
sorry, Joe.
No, but I find that I spend a lot of time at night going, am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. Like kind of doing a diagnosis. But it's never really focused on what I'm doing right. And I think that there's a lot of good that could come from that. But I think it's also nice to spend a little bit of time. And it's something that I coincidentally, not directly, but indirectly picked up from Rachel, just a concept from her family planning meetings that she put out from rightwellnesscenter.com. Shameless plug. But so what do you think makes you a great dad?
I think it's a, without being prepped for this, I think it's a tension between two pulling factors, and it's a matter of pulling on both those levers at the same time, like a tight rope, so that you can get to balance in between the two. On one end, there is discipline and boundaries for the child so that they don't, you know, grow up erratic or expect too much of the world or become jerks and I get tired of them. And at the other end is putting myself in their position and listening to their heart and their thoughts. So, and then between those two is developing into a good kid.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. You're right. There was zero preparation. I didn't have any preparation until I printed this article. And I, I didn't think of it. Like, I just go, you know what? I'm going to talk about what makes Kevin a great dad, and
so
then I'll answer
that page could just be the letter M, and you wouldn't know because you just printed out
I just printed it out. Honestly, I read a few of them, and then I go, oh, this is what I want to do with this. So anyway, I think what makes me a great dad is also what I worry about what makes me a bad dad, in that I push constantly, even though, I'm going to get a little Tom Brady.
Oh, no.
Even though it breaks my heart sometimes. Damn it.
Should we take a break?
Yeah. We're going to take another commercial break. I'm out of commercials.
Please buy something. And we're back.
Now I can't read the paper. No, I push, even though it does it. Sometimes it hurts, but I know it's the right thing. And that's what makes it, I think... I hope is a better way to put that. I hope it's what makes it right. Is that I know it's the hard thing, but I deep down inside also know it's the good thing. There's nothing more that I wanted to do when my son was crying at that football game because he was frustrated and angry. There's nothing more that I wanted to do because it was fucking cold and raining. I just want to.
You guys played in the cold and the rain.
I'm not kidding. I know that. I know there are people that are in Wisconsin that are going, fuck you. You don't know cold.
We call that every day.
But let me just put it to you this way. They had some bullshit rule, and we're all rookie parents doing stupid
shit.
Sure,
sure. You're the Bills, too.
Yeah, so. Right? We should be used to cold.
Who chooses the Bills?
Anyway. We're all wearing short sleeve shirts and shorts in the rain. I told Natalie when I got there and realized how cold it was at 5 minutes. I said, hey, go get long sleeve shirts to put underneath their jerseys when they get here. But so it wasn't like they were prepared to play in the cold they were wet.
Yeah.
And they're 5 and they're 6 and they're 7 and Jacob's 8. So they're in that age range, you know.
And here's the other reality. We don't play in that every day.
No.
So I'm sorry, Wisconsin.
Never played in that.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, and I wanted to grab him and I wanted to hug him and say, I'm sorry, this isn't fun. Let's go home. Or let's just sit out, go sit with your mom. But I knew that was the bad thing to do for him long term. And so I think it's that, and I think it's that I try to maintain this focus of not looking at what is the now, what is going on in the now, but how does this relate to when they leave my house? Mm-hmm. Like I really think that that's what my dad did for me that helped me out a ton. So here are those scientific things, and I would challenge each of you listening to do the same thing, even the moms, although I'm sure you have little to nothing to do with the success of your children.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding.
I didn't know you were so alienated on this.
they're really climbing up in the numbers. I got to get the dads back on this thing. We're doing like a 70-30 split almost.
How do you know these things?
I follow them. A great dad is extremely loyal and is always there for his children. He puts family first. Even if his relationship doesn't work out, he never abandons his children.
Now, how do they have scientific, in quotes, data to back that up?
So
very meta statement.
It has to do, and I wish that Rachel would be here to weigh in on this, but what I've learned from talking about these kinds of research studies with her is that it would be some kind of thing where there would be a questionnaire, and then there would be people representing different demographics in life. And then there would also be things where they would also look back at their experiences with their parent and then how that equates to either their financial success and then their just personal success. Like, how would you rate your happiness? You know, 1 to 10, what would you say? That kind of stuff. And I think that if you look at it, because there's some that say that it gets into later on where it's actually more career oriented. It says all the studies show that the father's influence in lives of their children is far greater than what was once commonly believed. The days of dad's primary function in parenting being just the breadwinner are in the past.
Yeah.
The fact is that dads have a greater role in parenting than ever. Here's the second one. Great dads aren't afraid to show their children how much they love them. A study by the University of Connecticut researcher examined the effects of parental rejection and acceptance. Their conclusions were that the love of a father is one of the biggest influence on a child's personality development. Aaron Pugnot of the Concordia University Department of Psychology and a member of the Center for Research in Human Development on the roles fathers play in their children's development. A great dad is respectful of women. He leads by example and shows his son how to treat a lady. He teaches his daughters that they deserve to be treated with respect and not to accept anything less. They learn by example from observing him. This one I thought was awesome. He is the family comedian. He cracks jokes that put everyone at ease. His humor makes every family activity more fun. So again, I think that when they're talking to these people as they're adults, they look back at what their dad did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So what does that mean for the mom then? That she becomes the executive officer? That she's the one that has to be the heavy and follow the rules?
Well, here's the thing. No, I think that traditionally, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm not backpedaling or soft.
No. It's not your article.
No, I know, but what I'm saying about what I think is that I think that there is still fundamentally, even though there is more of a split in household chores and everything, and there's more of a equal playing field.
I did the laundry today.
It's the worst. But there's also this idea that you, as a, there's still the mom who's kind of like, she is the executive of the family. I think you're right. I think that's kind of what she does. Now, of course, it's a general statement, and that there are going to be anomalies within that. But where, but I even notice that even though I'm the primary caregiver, I'm usually, even though I'm also the more cranky one out of the two of us, I am the one who will crack a joke about something. I say things like, for instance, I say things to my children like, listen, one of you is going to die today, and you have to agree which one it is. And then they both point at the other one and go, him. I said, no. I said, you have to agree.
Is that why they're still alive?
Yes.
Because they both.
They haven't agreed yet.
They're at a stalemate.
And I get that from my dad, is that I think my dad used humor as a way to screwing with our brain and knocking me off center kind of a thing.
That's good.
Because
the alternative, I get the picture that if the mom is the jokester in the family, then that means dad is in the back, not involved or angry, and mom is using humor to break the tension of the father's grip.
What could be tension within the relationship?
That's interesting. This is assuming a classical dynamic of
if you look at it, even that. It's because they said that the same thing, even if he never abandons the children. So there are examples in here is that even if your parents divorce, like if your parents divorce and your dad splits, that's no bueno. Mm-hmm. But if your parents divorce and dad sticks around and is still invested in your life,
it still matters.
That's almost as good, I think, as what they say in here. Or if not as good. As if they were still married.
And because it's 2017, this is not taking into account same-sex marriages or same-sex couples.
I don't know if it's a part of that.
Got it.
I have seen...
Only because they use the word science. That's why I'm asking.
I have seen studies in and read articles on the show about that.
Yeah.
About how that they have not seen any difference between a same-sex child raised and a... heterosexual relationship.
Yeah, what do you call that?
I don't know.
Other, normal.
I almost said normal.
Classic.
normal. There we are back to saying colored again.
Yeah.
Fathers that spend time with their kids daily. Oh, wait, hold on. I skipped a few. A great dad is also a great teacher. He shares his wisdom with his children and teaches them the ways of the world. He is patient with his children. I'm not very good at that. Mm-hmm. And realizes that they won't always like his suggestions. I'm also not very good at that. A great dad works hard to provide for his family. He has a successful career. Mm. He realizes that his most important job is the work he does as a dad. Now, this is something that I thought was
interesting.
Fathers that spend time with their kids daily leads to more work satisfaction.
For the dad?
For the dad.
Ah.
Also, fathers who spend time with their kids every day have greater levels of job stability. Here's what Jamie Ladge, who led a team of researchers at Northwestern.
Oh, I love Jamie Ladge.
A great dad plays with their kids. He isn't afraid to get down on the floor or take the kids out in the backyard. I don't know what happens in the backyard.
It stays in the backyard.
Another study from Concordia University looked at the long-term effects of a father's presence and concluded a great dad is stern and knows when to put his foot down. He doesn't let his kids get away with bad behavior and disciplines them appropriately. I think this is like what you're talking about with the boundaries, but
and
also
the tension
then the
between
fun.
The two.
Yeah. A great father is kind and compassionate. He listens to his children's problems and gives them the needed support. He is a pillar of strength who is supportive and always there when he is needed. A great dad is a difference maker. He realizes that his work is never done. He knows that his job is often thankless, and he is at peace with that. That's one I should probably improve on.
Let's print that out and put that on the wall for you.
Yeah, I need to put it on the fridge or something. Maybe just tattoo it on my head, although I'll never see it.
Now, there was one back there about dads being, that we want to be loved by our dads, cared for our dads. It was kind of early on.
Let's see if I can find it. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask why. Why do you think that is? Why do we want to be known by our fathers? Like the movie Fences, we were joking beforehand. Why are we built in such a way that if we don't feel known and cared for by our dads, that it hurts us?
I think that in that particular case, I think that it's, and I can answer that in my own personal opinion, but tell me, I think it's that it doesn't matter whether it's your mother or your father.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay,
for me, I'm over, like, everything is cool now.
Yeah.
But as a kid, and again, it's not her fault in any way, shape, or form. It's she was, like I've said many times in the show, she was 22, 23 when all this was going down. But I think I wrestled with some stuff because my mom, like, left.
Yeah.
And through no fault of hers, I perceived that to mean that she wanted nothing to do with
right.
me.
Yeah.
When it could be just, I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah.
Or it could be that, I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? You know what yeah. I mean? There's
so
there's,
why does that, why does, there's lots of people that don't know what to do with you, don't care about you, leave your life, move
why
on.
Why does the parents?
Why
so
does
important?
That? Yeah. Why does that? Why?
I think it's that it's supposed to be that one relationship, mm-hmm. that one, it's like why a duck imprints on anything that it first sees when that egg hatches. Like, it can imprint on a person. It can imprint on another small kid.
On a car.
Yeah. And I think it's that. There's got to be, if you want to be completely scientifically assholeish about it, I think that there is some kind of oxytocin, like, hormone release that happens in that moment. That's why they start talking about things like skin-on-skin contact, because it's good for the mom and the baby.
So humans aren't as good as ducks. It takes a long time.
We don't imprint visually.
To build that.
Yes.
What'd you call it? Acetonin?
Oxytocin.
That was close.
Which could be antacid. I really think I'm right. But anyway, I think it's that. I think it's that this, and I've had this conversation with my therapist, where it's like, that's the relationship, that in our expectation is supposed to be locked in and solid.
Yeah.
And that, so when that deviates, when it seems like that is not interested or whatever, just goes away, it messes with you.
Now, see, that's fascinating. I love that you used scientific terms to explain it, because in my understanding of it and my understanding of God has grown into a great dimension now that I have children. Because as a kid and as a young man, my relationship with God was like, why are you not making me happy, God? Why am I not getting what I want? I want the job. I want that girlfriend.
I love this analogy.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I became a parent, and I look at my son, and I'm like, I know you want the chicken nuggets, but you can't have the chicken nuggets. And I understand it, and it's changed my prayer life. It's changed my relationship with God of like, oh, I get
it. I don't know if you do this as part of your gig, but this needs, if it, and I'm sorry if it already has been, but
which gig?
Your church
gig. Okay, my church gig. Yeah.
I think this needs to be a sermon. I think that's a really cool eye-opener. Or a way for anybody who maybe sees that connection already or maybe hasn't even seen it, but to be able to put it in that frame of reference, I think it is impossible to misconstrue that.
I would agree.
You know what I mean? If you've ever had the conversation to a kid, it's like, no, you can't have nothing but chips for lunch.
Yeah, you can't. No.
That's not a meal.
Yeah.
I can't give you goldfish and potato chips.
Right.
There needs to be meat and have them just blankly stare at you going, listen, old man, maybe you don't understand how this is going
to
go down.
But cut to every single junior high youth group. But I want to have sex.
Yes.
Definitely in high school. I want to have sex.
Yes.
I want to have sex with everyone all the time. Right. Why would God build me this way if I can't go get laid?
Right.
I don't understand. It's not fair.
Exactly.
Replace sex with bag of chips.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's been so long since I've had chips. the doctor with my cholesterol is just not good for me right now.
Well, let's get Natalie in here.
Let's do this. Let's take another quick break and we'll come back and do some moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA.
Do you get laughs on that from your guests?
Yeah, usually. That's why I keep the mics hot when I play it, because I think it's funny to hear them giggle. And to be honest, I need to follow up with them, but I want to make it clear. Dad Gear, I was in the process of working out a deal with them to where I would get like a cut of the sales. That has not happened.
Cut it out now.
No, it's fine.
Keep it in now.
I leave it in there because I so believe in the product that they make. If you have a Dad Gear diaper backpack, I would be shocked if you were disappointed in not only the practicality, but also the quality of that item.
I believe we have one. And I love it. And my
you
wife,
do have one. I think we got you one.
That might be it.
Yeah.
And I do love it. And Kat, my wife, always wants to pick another backpack. Now, I hope this isn't undermining your PSA.
It's not, because they're not paying me, so it doesn't matter.
There you go. Because I always found it fascinating that I was like, if we're going out, I reach for the dad gear backpack. And then she's always grabbing this.
Like a purse?
Like a completely unfunctional thing. And I was like, but this is the one. Like, you see that it has these compartments, and it's clearly thought out for quick execution while we're in the line at Disneyland, right? Yeah, but this one's cuter. This is bigger.
If you go to the website and look, I think if you found something that had a more floral print to it than the solid color, because we probably got you the basic solid color.
It's like bright orange, and which of course I love. Yes, I love all things
orange. That's why I think we got it, because we're your friends. We don't. We're her marital friends.
We're one flesh now. So.
Oh, okay. Then I guess I'll be her friend.
She's actually here in my pocket.
Oh, that's cute. So anyway, moment of the week. Would you like to go first, sir?
Yeah, sure. So my kids bathe together. I have a 1-year-old that will be 2 very soon, and she's a girl, and that makes her my daughter. And then I have my son that's 4, and he's my son, and that makes her a boy. It makes him a boy. Anyway, they bathe together because they don't know any different, which leads to a bunch of very comical and inappropriate stories, but which they will never know about. but it's fascinating. My favorite journey for each of the kids is just to watch them develop into the people that they are. So for my daughter right now, is discovering that she loves to dance. It's just in her bones. And so she'll just at random moments just run around. I think she's doing a Justin Timberlake impression, or she'll do this thing where she puts her shoulders and she slumps them down in front. She gets on her tippy toes and kind of bounces around with her head kind of bobbed out in front of her. We don't know where she got it, but she'll just do it all the time. But my son, becoming more and more articulate, they're sitting in the bathtub together, and they're playing, they're kind of doing their own thing with the toys, and then suddenly he kind of stops it and turns to his sister completely unannounced and says, words I've never heard him say in his entire life, words we do not say as a family. So I don't know where he got this. He goes, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" Splash time! It just starts kicking the water everywhere. Like, where did this? I guess it's splash time. Of course, she's right on board with splash time. So that was impressive.
That's awesome. My favorite part is, "Are you thinking what I'm
exactly
thinking?"
Where did he get that?
I have
where
no
did
idea.
He get that?
Yeah, because I don't know of any show where they would.
It's not
know?
A thing. Yeah, but clearly it's in the ethos enough to where he's like, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?"
mine has to do with there are two things. This isn't really a moment in the sense where it's a cute thing, but the second one hopefully is. With Jack, with everything I've been doing with the Booster Club, and I've been going to these meetings after school, it's not like every day. I feel like I'm making it sound like it's super daunting. It's not, but it does take up time.
It's just 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, plus mornings.
Normal, part-time, almost full-time job.
For no pay.
I was in the meeting with the principal with some other people in PTA and Booster, and my son Jack got out of kindergarten while we were in the meeting, so I went to go grab him. I brought his tablet so he would just sit in the office, and on Fridays, he goes with his friends to a McDonald's Playland.
Oh, fun.
And we go, and he gets to play in the Playland, and the parents sit and chit-chat, and it's awesome. We're very lucky. And I'm sitting there, and the meeting went a little long, so we didn't get out of the meeting until like 12:30. So he was sitting out there for almost an hour.
Mm.
No problem.
Yeah.
Never complained, never did anything. And then we go home, and he's like, "Can we go to McDonald's now?" And I said, "Yeah." I go, "Well, let's wait till your brother gets out of school," because they were out on early because it was a parent-teacher conference. So we go to pick up his brother at 1 o'clock. Brother normally gets out at 2. And so I thought, I'm going to grab him, we'll go to lunch, and it'll be great. But then one of the moms comes up to me and was asking me about the meeting. And so I started talking to him, and I was chatting with him, and I lost track of time,
sure,
to be frank. I screwed the pooch. And
which is your name for the cow,
right,
that you used to
have. He went with a friend, and then there was like a weird impromptu kid's birthday party that just happened at the park where, like, "Hey, we were going to not have a party, but now we're having a party, so we're going to the park. Like, if you want to come, we got pizza, blah, blah, blah." And we literally found out 15 minutes before we were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, so we show up. But he didn't get to go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I said, "Dude, I'm really sorry that you didn't get to go to McDonald's. I know that I told you." He loves it. He loves going with his friends. He asks every day, "Can I go to McDonald's today?" And I say, "No."
Yeah.
"It's Friday. Friday's today. Friday's today." And I said, "I'm sorry. I screwed up." And I said, "And I will make it right. You can go with Elizabeth tomorrow. And I'm really sorry that the day got away from Dad, and that's my bad. That's not your fault.
That's great everything. That you can apologize to him.
You did everything right. And he looked at me and he goes, he was kind of bummed, and it, like I saw him like, oh, I'm gonna be sad because I'm gonna milk this or whatever. And then he kind of looked at me and he goes, it's okay.
That's awesome.
So thanks, man. I appreciate it. And so I was super proud of him and thankful to him for doing that. I almost Tom Brady'd again. Jesus, what's the matter with that?
But that's really powerful. And I think it kind of goes back to what you're saying earlier about, or and this like new generation of dads, to be humble enough to apologize to your child. That's a big deal. I think that's a cultural shift for us.
I think it's important to model that. I want him to, when he screws up, I want him to apologize and feel like it's not that big a deal.
Because if you don't teach him that lesson through modeling it, he has to learn it in school or in the workforce or in his own intimate relationships. And those are terrible places to learn that you have to apologize
Trial
for
by
stuff.
Fire.
Exactly. If you model it now and he can experience grace, it also allows him to apologize for stuff on his own as a child, which is so much better.
So next one is super cheesy, very biased father when it comes to Jacob and his achievements.
He drew on the walls with and Sharpies. It was so
left
cute.
We just left it because it was so beautiful.
We don't want to stifle his creativity.
He
took a hammer.
He's very sensitive. No, we had parent-teacher conferences, and Jax was mandated because Jack is a little bit he's probably at where he should be, if not like one step behind of what they would like him to be writing-wise.
Yeah.
And it has more to do with the fact that Jack has an ability to manipulate people to his will and to where like he could just charm him, and then they just let him slide.
Just smiles.
Yeah.
Look at these teeth.
And Jacob is more wired to like, I'm going to nail this. Yeah. I'm going to fucking kill it. Like, he's Eye of the Tiger a little bit. And so we voluntarily offered, like, because if your kid's excelling, you don't have to go to the second, but we like to go. We like to check in with. So we go in there, and it was just great to not only hear, you know, Jacob's reading at like a fifth grade reading level and is just really excelling, but the teacher was like, she said he's super sweet and kind to all the kids. She's like, I couldn't be happier with Jacob. And my favorite moment of it, though, that I don't know why, but this really stuck out to me. He goes, he always laughs at my jokes.
Aww.
And it was so.
That's really sweet.
And I know I think he's kind of smitten with his teacher, sure, which is totally awesome. She's a very sweet lady. But it was just funny that she got it, like, to see her be a person who is impacted by an 8-year-old kid, and it's my 8-year-old kid. Yeah. She was like, he always laughs at my jokes. And she goes, and I know what'll happen, like, I'll say a joke, and then he'll laugh, and then the other kids will laugh. But I know Jacob got the joke.
Right.
They're just tacking on the laugh. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I will also have a water with lemon.
And it's funny to watch him. He's really coming into his own. Like, now we'll start to make jokes that are kind of for Natalie and I.
Yeah.
And in the back of the minivan, we'll hear. he gets it.
That's really dangerous when you start to talk about the naughty stuff.
Nah, not if you're a worship. Don't worry about those things.
It's funny because I work from home on this day that we're recording this. I don't know if that has to be a secret. and so I was going to leave to come here, and I didn't want to tell him where I was coming, but he takes a rest time because he's still 4. He doesn't do a nap, so he does a rest time on our bed and is in our room. And he's been collecting toys, and he gets to sit there and play with the toys or read books. But the important part for our little extrovert is that he's alone during that time, except for when Dad's around. So when I'm here, Dad's allowed to like come in for about 15, 20 minutes, maybe read some books with him or play toys, which we've been doing a lot lately, which was one of your great moments with Dad's, really reinforces, I found, our relationship grow stronger, that we're having private time, just the two of us, and there's no media, no television. Well, today I'm working at my desk just before coming over, and he comes into my little office, and he just silently comes up to me because he knows he's supposed to be in the room having quiet time. He's like, Dad, are you going to come and play with me? It is rest time. It's like, no, I have to go to a meeting today. And then fighting back tears, he's like, but you were supposed to work from home today, and you were going to read and play with me. I was like, well, I can't today. I have to go. He's like, can you just play for a little bit? I was like, maybe for a minute and read. Yes, I'll do. So it's hard to be like, no, yes. But yes, but no.
Yes.
And I know he's only doing it because he wants the company during his rest time, but he also wants my company at the rest time, which is
not a bad thing to want.
Not at all.
Right?
Not at all.
All right, that was our show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. If you are new to the show, and many of you are, I strongly encourage you to find the Facebook fan group. It's called Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. It's run by our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
And it's a great place to find like-minded parents and post fun memes and share funny stories about your kids, your own moments of the week, articles that you find. Like, I can't encourage you more to go there. It's just a great place to find a strong sense of community with, like I said, other like-minded parents who don't think that parenting is puppies and kittens and rainbows. If you want to support the show, you can go to thedadpodcast.com, scroll down to the bottom. There's an Amazon banner there. Click on that, bookmark that as your Amazon banner. Then everything that you purchase when you go to Amazon through your little bookmarked link, I get like 5-10%. It doesn't cost you anything. All it does is, for some reason, Amazon kicks me down because they've got enough money to float the United States Postal Service on a Sunday. So
no kidding.
They're doing just fine.
Yeah.
And if you are not tired of hearing me, you could check out the Producer Michelle podcast. It's available on iTunes, or you can find it at KFIAM640.com and just do a keyword search for Producer Michelle. And I think that's it. All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode. Kevin, did you have something else?
I'm on Twitter, the Kevin Miller, and on Instagram as Unlockable Man.
Yes.
So if you want to look at things, Instagram. If you want to talk to me, Twitter.
Boom goes the dynamite. And all of that is in the description of this episode, so you don't need to worry about spelling and all that jazz. So,
spelling.
On behalf of the fantastic TheKevinMiller.com, this is Justin Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.